Good evening, and welcome to the second night of the City of Dillingham 2021 candidate debate. It will be for the City Council seats E and F. The candidate for seat E is Caleb Westphal. He is running unopposed and is not in attendance tonight. The candidates for seat F are Greg Marksmiller and Perry Abrams. Both candidates are in attendance. The candidates have received the ground rules, debate format, and logistics ahead of time. Each candidate will have 2 minutes for opening statements and 2 minutes for closing statements. The moderators will address questions to all the candidates, but not all candidates will be expected to answer every question. The questions for tonight were submitted by community members. Due to time constraints, we will not be taking questions from the audience. The candidates' responses will be limited to 90 seconds. The moderators may prompt a follow-up discussion following the candidates' initial responses. Our moderators are Mike Davis, a local fisherman and retired Bristol Bay campus instructor that has taught classes on state, federal, and local government for the past 25 years, and Rich Johnson, former publisher of the Bristol Bay Times. The live recording of tonight's debate will be available on KDLG's website after the debate, and a link to the audio and video recording on the City of Dillingham website, barring no technical issues. Over to you, Fritz and Mike.
Thank you, Councillor. For our first question, you actually have 2 minutes to speak. And the first question goes to Perry Abrams. Tell us about yourself, your background, and why you want to serve the community.
Good. My name is Perry Abrams. I moved to Dillingham when I was a child, and I grew up here. In fact, I went to school in this very building, in this very room. I currently own a business with my wife, and I'm also a pastor of the Community Baptist Church. I served in the United States Marine Corps as a recon marine, as a team leader. I'm a commercial pilot and an AMP mechanic with inspection authorization. I work for a major air carrier as a mechanic, as a pilot, and as a chief inspector. I have supervised multiple departments at the same time. Was responsible for airline aircraft maintenance programs, responsible for quality control, and conducted audits on vendors used by the airline. I have leadership experience both in military and civilian. I have had, as a supervisor, to make agonizing decisions at times and had to confront and or correct persons under my authority as the situation dictated. I feel I would make a good council member by being fair and realizing, no matter what, that I can always learn and understand more. I am fair, firm in my actions with people, and I work well with others. I believe we need a change in the direction that Dillingham is headed. Not talk, but just real action, real change. I'm willing to work towards solving problems and improving the quality of life in Dillingham. Einstein said that the insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. So that's where I'm coming from tonight.
Thank you, Perry. And I think you addressed the second part of this question, that is, what skills do you bring, you know, that would persuade voters to support you? And unless you had something more to add, I think. Did you use up all our 2 minutes? Oh, okay. If there's anything else you wanted to add, speaking specifically to the skills that you have that you would bring to this job.
Well, in the Marines, I was in the special Marine Department there, as far as the recon there, and I've attended amphibious reconnaissance force, scout swimmers, Arctic warfare training, airborne jump school, embarkation training, and then also the NCO course, which is the non-commissioned officers training course. I've got several meritorious masks, and I love my time in the military, and I credit that with me being the person that I am today in many respects.
Thank you. Right on time. Greg, same question to you, and if I could just lump them both together here, it might make things simpler. But tell us about yourself, your background, and why you want to serve the community, and let us know what skills that you have that will, you know, that would persuade voters to support your candidacy.
Yeah, thank you, Fritz. My name is Greg Marksmiller. I am the son of Jim and Karen Marksmiller. First, I'd like to acknowledge the Kurian tribe and its people for the stewardship of this land. I'd also like to thank the city and KDLG for this forum. I have dedicated myself and my time to see both as a planning commissioner and in city council. In my private life, I've had two businesses here in Dillingham, when I started here in Dillingham and when they got me here as a fisherman in 1991. I fished for 30 years in Nooshiak. I currently work at SAFE, Safe and Fear-Free Environment, as an outreach and education coordinator. I take public service seriously. I've dedicated myself, even being a private individual, to step out there and to learn and to try to get better skills to serve the public and to serve my adopted community of Dillingham. I bring experience, dedication, and discernment to my tasks. I've served on the Planning Commission for 6 years, and I've experienced a lot of different things that have come before us, and I've learned what issues are there for the city and how to deal with those issues. And I've learned what public service was. I decided to step that up and run for council 3 years ago. In that, I have learned so much, and I know what the issues are that we're dealing with, and I have the experience to deal with those issues in a positive manner to get the city vision accomplished with the comprehensive plan and with other documents that we're creating. I have a vision for Dillingham of a place that can be the best they can be, and I believe that I can help get us there.
Kelsey, is that 2 minutes? You'll have another chance to address your thoughts at the end. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks. I guess the question will go to Greg. Is that correct? Okay, Greg. In a recent assessment by the city manager, one of the things that they identified that without a financial plan in about 2 years, the city won't be able to meet payroll. And I guess the question to you is, one, are you familiar with the points that he raised in terms of not the financial planning, the plan for the future? And what should the city do? Look for new sources of revenue or cut services? So I guess that's the question for both of you.
Thank you. Yes, I'm familiar with the city assessment. I've been in the meetings for that, and I've listened to the department's report on what their issues are and what needs to be done. And I believe that you had to kind of look at everything. We need to look at revenues first. We don't need to look at cuts yet. We will need to consider what the department heads do recommend as far as things to go forward with, you know, what they need and what they don't need in their department. But the first thing we should be doing, and we are doing to some degree right now, is looking at new revenue, what's possible to help shore up the debt that we're looking at. I believe there's a lot of different ways of looking at new revenue. And I believe there's certain things that we can go ahead and do really quickly, and there's certain things that take longer time. And to be honest, there's certain things that we ask of our community, our citizens, for revenue, and I feel like we ask a lot for them. And I think there's ways of getting more money to the city, to the federal government, and with grants than asking about more taxes.
Yeah, Greg, just to follow up, tell us what are your thoughts on new revenues for the city?
Well, I believe that we need to look at getting a grant writer as soon as possible and not leave any money on the table. I believe that right now is a good time for the federal government to be showing up some of the debt that we're incurring because of the lack of the state government to funding us. And so I think getting a grant writer out there and going for those grants that are being available to our city is of the utmost importance. People talk about new revenue in taxes. That's traditionally how cities fund themselves. I think that there's possibility of some taxes. Look at the marijuana tax. I mean, that being 6 versus 10, that's something that, you know, we can take a look at now that's reasonable, I think, and supported by the industry to some degree. I think the fish tax is also something we talked about a lot. And I think that, you know, as a fisherman, I would like to pay those taxes to the city.
Thank you.
Okay, Perry?
Yes, I did read through the city assessment and some very good information in there. And my take on that, and I'm going back a little bit here to what I had as a job with Peninsula Airways, the airline I worked for. This assessment that was written up was, although it was very thorough, I believe for the most part it was written by the departments themselves, by the individuals working in that department. And that's not bad, but I think we need to go further than that and do a type of an audit to find out with somebody separate from that department to go in and say, hey, where is the waste being made? I had the same thing done to me while I was at Penn Air. At first, I was standoff. I didn't want to do it. But then after it was done, it showed me where I was lacking and where I could improve things. And it was a very helpful thing, and it was strengthened the department. I think if we did that, I think we are going to see a lot of waste in the city government that we don't see. And that's going in and talking to the individuals themselves, the sweeper, the janitors, that talk to everybody along with the department's heads, and I think it'll give a much better picture on the true condition of our different departments. I hear this a lot. You see things that the managers don't see. No one wants to make a report making themselves seem deficient.
Perhaps we can do a follow-up to this. There's a lot in here, obviously. So perhaps we can do a follow-up question, if it's okay with our co-moderator. Follow-up and identify, you are familiar with this, what's the top three things that you think need to be addressed with it as a councilman?
When you get in and you do I'll call it an audit for lack of a better term. It wouldn't necessarily be technically an audit, but when you go in and you take a look at and talk to the different people and you look at the department, the way that it's, how it's funded, how much money they get, and where it's being used exactly. Not that just X amount of dollars is going into the department, and look at where it's being used. Maybe there's a more efficient way to use it. One of the things that I've heard all the time, often, when I would do my audits within Penn Air and other vendors that the airline used, it was they would tell me, well, that's not the way that we've done it. We've never done it that way. That's why I think one of the reasons we're at where we're at. We've always done it that way. Nobody's made any change. Nobody's come up with any corrective actions to say, hey, we can do things better. Small town politics, good old boy syndrome. Nobody wants to anger anybody. But I think we're beyond that. We're going to run out of money in 2 years and not be able to pay our employees. And we don't want to go there. I think that's going to be detrimental.
Excuse me. Thank you very much, Barry. I think in fairness to our other member, I'll address the same question to you as I did to Barry regarding what are the top areas you think we ought to address in this assessment, top three areas.
Well, I believe that the city employees are dedicated and working as hard as they possibly can for the city. I think that we have some of the same issues that a lot of people in this community have as employers in turnover, advancement, pay. I also think equipment is a major issue. They need good tools to do their jobs, whether that's, big computer systems, or whether that's road graders. They need that good equipment, and that is kind of a scary thing to look at that with the assessment and knowing that we may have to spend a little bit more to get us past this part so that we can help our employees do their jobs. I believe advancement is important. We did a wage study, and I believe we need to look at our wages for our employees and make sure that we can, pay them comparable rates. That also affects our budget, so it's kind of a scary thing, but that will cause less turnover, which will cause less training. So in the long run, we can look at savings from that. And if we invest in them, I think those are the things that we should be looking at right now, and trying to shore up those issues so that our employees can work for the city in the best way they can.
If I could just return to Perry for a moment, because your original question, I realize that your response suggested that we take a look at how the city performs the services that it does, and whether or not we're I was going to say something untoward here, but that money not be wasted. What other issues does the city have to deal with in your view? Some of which are articulated in the assessment, but some maybe of your own observation.
Yeah, I think some of the things we need to look at is we are, from what I've been reading in the budget, we are some $2 million short this year, and that is only going to get worse as time goes on. Mr. Marksmiller brought up a very good point. I believe that we've got a lot of good employees out there that are working their tails off. I believe that, and I know many of them. I grew up here. I know many of them personally. I think we need to get the budget under control and the spending under the control, and then see where we're at to see what kind of a funding. If we are wasting several million dollars over here and we think we need to go out and get that much more funding, then it's going to have to come in either a tax. Grants, we're a first-class city, so we're missing out on a lot of the grants that are available that won't be available for a first-class city, that would be available to a borough. So I think we need to get our spending under control, and then if we need to look at the funding, see where we can strengthen that. But I think if you're not efficient, if we're wasteful, it doesn't matter how much money you bring in. If it's being wasted, it's being wasted.
Thank you.
Yeah, in fairness, we need to allow Greg to respond too if he has some additional comments regarding this issue.
What are some of my top priorities as a council member for our city? Or,
well, responding to this question that he just gave you with the, go ahead. Well, we're going to give equal time here, so go ahead.
So the budget is a major issue. I believe that we've taken some one-time hits in the budget that we had to take care of. I believe that we can look at our projects that we have going on and try to keep costs down and within the scope. I think that would be super helpful. I believe that, the assessment gives us the opportunity to actually look at what's going on and listen to the department heads and the people that have the boots on the ground that are doing this stuff and hear that in a formal way, to address those issues and to not let things continue to go on. I appreciate the opportunity that the current manager, Chris Ladek, has given us to take a look at that. I believe that we can enact change because we have that information now. We do need to address this. I don't think that the current spending, I don't believe that it's sustainable, but I also believe that some of these things are not things that we're going to have reoccurring. I don't see us having the same spending going on. There's other revenues out there. We have hazard mitigation possibility coming in. We talked to FEMA to take care of some of the erosion that we have in our community. We have to take care of things, though. The city needs to be responsive in services to the citizens, and we need to take care of our citizens.
Your next question.
Okay, and let's see. Who's first this time? I mean, you just spoke for Perry. Here's a question that, I took off of Facebook. What can the city of Dillingham do to increase economic opportunities for residents, and does the city have a role there or not, I guess would be the other part of that.
Yes, I believe the city would have a vital role in the economic condition of the city. Right now, I read through several of the past, the 2020, the 2010, the audit that was done on the number of people and the cost of living. Dillingham is consistently the highest cost of living in this end of our state. It costs more to live here than many of the villages around here. There's a problem there that shouldn't be that way. I think part of it is that we are taxed substantially. And it was brought up, Mr. Marksmiller brought it up too, that the pay, for instance, for city employees, I looked at a couple of the open positions there were, and I'm like, man, I don't think I would do that job for that money. I mean, and still live here. We're not going to get anybody here with high cost of living and low wages. There's going to be no growth. It's going to be stagnant, or we are going to regress and we're going to lose people, which is what we have been doing. I believe that my approach would be to get the cost down, make it cheaper to live here. We would entice people to come into town and stay here, which would bring more tax revenue to the city. When the cost of living goes down, then people can afford to invest in this town. And when people invest in this city, in this town, they can stay.
Thank you, Perry. If I could just follow up real quick, how do you bring down the cost of living in a place that's among the highest in the state?
Well, so we need to start here. That would be city council. That would be with the city. And I brought that up in my first point about going to the departments to see where we're wasting money. I think we also need to do is to open up places. We don't seem to be real, have any program or a drive to bring businesses here. You know, there's not a lot of housing available. Housing is outrageously expensive, and it is very difficult to find a decent place to rent. And heating on top of that, our energy costs in town are very, very expensive. We're comparable in fuel gasoline prices in Dillingham as we are in Manicotic and Togiak. I go to those places and I ask these people, how much are you paying for gas? And I says, you're kidding me, that's what we pay. So there is something somewhere upstream of the pipeline for our energy. There's a problem there, I believe. And I think that needs to be addressed. And I think that's where the city can get involved and say, hey, what is going on here? Why are we so expensive?
I agree with you wholeheartedly. So I frequently will talk to, you know, friends and family who live outside the state, and they want to know how much is a gallon of milk, you know, or, you know, a loaf of bread, and they can't believe that too. But I don't understand how the city could, you know, can reduce those costs, energy in particular, and food.
Well, here's
one more thought, and housing too. I mean, how is the city going to enhance and increase the available housing stock? I'm sorry, I'm interrupting too much.
Well, when you have a city, when we are taxed the way that we are, nobody can afford to invest. We have a sales tax. We have a property tax. I tried to buy a automotive part for my van. I found it online because it was not available here. It wasn't available in Anchorage. So somebody said, hey, look at this website. I found it on the website. It was a very reasonable price. I tried to order it. They asked me to call this number. There was a problem. I called a number and it says, we cannot sell it to you because you're from Dillingham and they are collecting a sales tax. So they would not sell me the part because the city of Dillingham put a sales tax on it. And he says, we're not equipped to do that. It costs us more manpower to do that sales tax, so we're not even going to sell to you. Those are some of the things. That's a small thing. We've got some of the frivolous things, I believe, is we've got an incinerator out at the dump. That was a multi-million dollar project. It is broke more than it is operating, and it has cost the city a lot more than what was anticipated or what was expected. So we need to be careful how we spend our money. It sounds good, but it may not necessarily pan out the way that we expect it to. And I think we've got too much of that. And that will help bring down the costs, entice more people to come in. Tax revenues goes up. People spend money in town. Housing gets built. More apartments go up. But you got to have people coming to town.
Thank you, Perry. I'm going to bounce that one over to you, Greg. What can the city do to help increase economic opportunities here?
Yeah, thank you. So the city does have a role in being an economic driver. I think, you know, we look at the things we've already done to protect businesses in this town, such as sales tax ceilings for, you know, goods that are sold at a certain price to make things equitable for people that are, you know, selling snow machines and things like that. I have voiced the concern that we should have a tax, kind of a cottage industry tax. I don't know if you call it a shelter, but like a certain amount that people can run a small business to kind of incubate people starting out and not having to pay, having a sales tax on the first certain amount of goods. I mean, that would help people that are just interested in entrepreneurship to begin businesses. When we look at sales tax that other businesses outside of Dillingham are having to pay, that protects local businesses by making sure that it's an even playing field for businesses here to compete with businesses outside of the Bristol Bay Area or Dillingham. We've worked very hard with Alaska Municipal League to create an easy-to-use system for Amazon, large companies to comply with that and generate more revenue. There's Fidel.
Mike, did you have anything more?
Were you asking the next question?
Nope, that was my turn.
Okay, all right, good. Well, we have a few rapid questions that we want to ask you both. I guess you started off, so we'll go to Perry. I guess one question we asked the mayor's candidate yesterday, we'll ask this for yourself. What's one issue that you would like to address day one as a councilman?
Sorry, it would be the city assessment where we go in and look at the departments. I would want to go in and look not as a agitator and not as a iron-fisted, you know, to go in and thump everybody. It wouldn't be that at all. It would just be, hey, talk to the little guy. What's your job here? What do you do? Do you get the support you need? Do you get the training you need? I've talked with numerous people and they say they don't have the training. They're kind of thrown into the position. They break something and that costs the city. And that employee is possibly fired or let go or moved, which costs more in training. I would like to see a dedicated a person designated, not a add-on employee, but someone designated that knows the systems, that knows what needs to be a trainer. We had that at the airline we had, and every group of employees that would come on, that person would get with them and train them. Hey, this is the road grader you're driving. This is how you operate it safely, and this is how you don't break anything. And then they're trained, and then they're not allowed to operate it until they are trained. And this would go not only for operators, but computers, for systems, water, sewage, driving the trucks, any kind of equipment or any city service, get in there, make sure that we're being as efficient as we can. And I think once we do that, it will open a multitude of directions that we can say, hey, here's how we can improve right from the start.
Hey, Perry, that wasn't a rapid answer, but that's fine.
Okay,
fair enough. But we'll give the same time to Greg. Greg, day one.
Day one, hire city manager. I mean, we're going through that process. We'll have public meetings for people to meet our candidates, but that's the first order of business for us to do is to get our city manager here, have that leadership to help, you know, the city kind of go forward on the things we've kind of developed as far as city assessment, wage study, and all the other things. And I'd like to get them here as soon as possible so they can get started and Chris can give them as much guidance as possible.
Hey, thanks. I'm going to follow up here. We've talked about looking at their various programs, looking at possible tax revenues, but I guess my one question is, if there are programs to cut, is there any programs that are currently in existence that you feel we should be cutting? And I think we'll go to Greg because you started it. But yeah, let's go back to Perry. No, it's in fairness. We'll go back to Perry first.
As a business operator, I can only buy, I can only finance with what I have. I can't do anything more than that. If the city does not have the money and we, and it appears that we are in $2 million behind, something is going to have to give. You can't borrow your way out of this fiscal situation. Borrowing money isn't the answer. I think we need to look at things and just say, maybe there are some cuts that need to be made. I was brought up last night with the mayoral candidates that the museum and the library, maybe we can get some concerned citizens that would come in and volunteer for a while at limited hours to keep things going for those people that, that really, you know, enjoy that, and we can keep it going possibly. But yeah, if there's cuts that need to be made, there's, that's the nature of the business. You can only finance with what you have money with. If you don't have the money, something has to give.
Okay, so just to clarify, you would look possibly at museum and library?
That would be a start. It's not a critical. It's not an essential. It's not like the police or the fire or those kind of things that you have to have. You know, we could function as a city without that. It wouldn't be very pleasant to many, and I understand that, but it may be a necessary evil until we get our finances online.
Okay, same question to you, Greg. I think when you're looking at budgets, revenue, all this stuff, you look at cuts last. I believe we've taken some one-time hits that caused our budget to be a lot more in the red than I would like. I think we can kind of tackle, I think we can tackle those things. I think we've taken some, we've added extra things to the roads project that we had because we felt like it was a good investment at the time. It cost us a little bit more, okay, but it has a big payoff, and I don't think we'll see those things in the budget next. I don't think we're at the point where we really, I mean, we are at a point where we need to look at everything, which is why we did this estimate. As far as cutting things, that's the last thing I would look at when I'm looking at budget and revenue. I think the citizens of Dillingham have a good expectation of the services they need, and I don't think that we should be looking at cutting services right now.
Okay, thank you, Greg. I'll turn it back to the co-moderator.
There has been, certainly a lot of controversy regarding COVID. 2 years ago, local communities basically said we should shut down the fishery. And by the grace of God, we managed to get through the 2020 fishing season without, you know, very little infection. That situation has changed now. But I guess the question I have is, do you agree with the measures adopted in the past with regard to COVID and moving ahead? What should the city be doing now? And I believe that's a Perry question.
Yeah, some of the mandates that were given out before, maybe not the same ones that we have now, I had issue with. I think they went too far and they were too broad. I travel a lot. I've got a family in that lives in Palmer, and they haven't had a mask mandate. They haven't had a lockdown. They haven't had anything, and they're doing very well. Naknek and King Salmon, I go there oftentimes, and they are doing very well. I'm not saying that people that need to wear a mask shouldn't wear a mask. That's not what I'm saying. I understand that this virus is a very serious virus, especially to those that are elderly or maybe that have compromised immune systems. But at the same point, our Constitution was written for to keep the government in check. Something has to keep it in check, and we have a Constitution to do that. When we go beyond that, we are not only jeopardizing our way of life, but there's always going to be something that comes around next. There's going to be a COVID-20 or a COVID-21 or a COVID-23 or some kind of emergency that is going to be said emergency, and boom, the government is going to come in and squeeze more away from the people, and I think we've got to be very careful for that. So I believe that is a choice. I think people ought to have a choice in things. People want to wear a mask. I have no issue with that, none whatsoever. We're wearing masks.
we'll maybe come back to that. Greg.
Yeah.
So I have a voting record. People can look it up. I obviously support where the city is right now. I'm really concerned about where we're at. We're facing something that is just astronomical in the world, the U.S., and here. It's pretty sad when you have doctors and nurses begging the city of Anchorage to install a mask mandate. And the mayor is saying, we've done all we can. I don't know what else to do. People are dying, and I believe that people expect the city to show guidelines, to show what's responsible, and to give people expectations. I believe people look to the city to help safeguard themselves in this public health emergency. That doesn't mean that we should go overboard, and you can tell by my record that I sent in amendments to protect freedom when it wasn't necessary for us to have more stringent requirements. But we need to take this seriously. It's not getting better. People will not be able to go to the hospital. A lot of people are finding out that what they thought, and it wasn't a big deal, is soon is a big deal when they go into the hospital and they don't make it out. I believe that we, as a city, need to show people what we expect in our community. And if we have to take the bad heat for it, so be it.
Thank you, Greg. Did you have any follow-up?
But just one thing, Perry. I believe the amount of people getting vaccinated over in the Bristol Bay borough is actually much higher than it is here. So just kind of clarification, but I believe that's a fact.
Yeah, and the people over in the Massey Valley, it is much, much lower, and they are doing very well. I'm not against the vaccine either. I am not against the vaccine. I absolutely am not against it.
Well, I don't think as a state we're not doing very well in terms of our vaccination rate, but also hospitalizations per capita. We're not doing very well, but that's my personal opinion. But I think it's also backed up by facts. But we don't want to have a conversation or debate on COVID. But I appreciate your response to this. So unless there's something else we could.
Well, yeah, and back, we ran out of time here to say just a couple of things here that I did not appreciate that was going on in Dillingham. I witnessed this myself. There was I do not believe the police officer is here anymore, but it was a police officer. I heard him say he was speaking with two people that got off of an airplane and they did not have their permits, their travel permits with them. And he made this statement to him. He says, if one person comes to Dillingham with COVID, we're going to die. That was very irresponsible, and it certainly was not true. That bothered me. I'm thinking, you are a city official. You are a police officer. You shouldn't be saying that. And you really shouldn't be saying it if it's not true. I was told by the security people that they were asked, we had that was monitoring the Alaska flights that would come in. The security person told me that, yeah, they asked us if we would follow people home to make sure that they go home. That's just creepy. Getting followed home. That's not what the United States is or about, whether or not we're facing COVID or not. Encouraging people to turn in their neighbors. Is that what this thing is turning us into, where we're going to turn in our neighbors? Is that what kind of society we want to live in? I don't think it is.
I'm not sure that that's information I can't really respond to, but we're going to give equal credit here to equal time here, Greg. And then let's move on to another topic after that. But go ahead, Greg.
Right. I don't want to have to mandate things. I expect people to have personal responsibility, but people need to know what's expected of them. And if we looked at what we had when we didn't have a mask mandate, and we're here in this situation, we looked at what's Anchorage not having a mask mandate, and we're here in this situation, we're not in a good place. We need to take whatever we can do to do the best we can for our community. That requires personal responsibility and requires people to wear a mask. And I wish we didn't have to tell people that. I wish people would just do that. I wish they would do that at work, wherever they are in public. And it saddens me to think that people made this a political issue, and that people are thinking about themselves and not about the community and the other people. And for that lack of responsibility, people are dying. My two cents.
Hey, let's thank you both for your responses to this question. The next question, and it came from a person that submitted a question, and that's regard to it's a dual question, really. But one question to both of you, and I'll start with you, Barry, is do we have a homeless problem here in Dillingham?
Yes, we do have a homeless problem, but it's not just a homeless problem. It is an alcohol problem. A majority of our homeless is individuals that are struggling with alcoholism. It has been here since I was a kid, and it has only gotten worse. We used to, in Dillingham, we had a CSP, or Community Service Patrol, that would kind of monitor these people, especially in the wintertime when they were inebriated and they were at risk of passing out in a snowbanking and dying or ending up at the hospital. They would get picked up and they would get evaluated and they would either be brought to the hospital or they'd be brought to the sleep off center until they sobered up. So absolutely, we do have a problem. And I think in order to, is that the question or am I speaking?
Yeah, that's the question. The second part of the question, and you started it, and that's what do we do to solve that problem? Or what, do you have some suggestions?
Yes, I think that many of these people, when inebriated, Anchorage, there have been several people when I used to live in there that would pass out in a snowbank and they'd freeze to death. And that is a tragedy, and it is heartbreaking. And I know people. I know people personally that have gone through that or had family members involved with that. I think we need to have a place. Doesn't have to be a comfortable place, but just some place warm that they're not going to freeze to death in the night. Some place to put them. I think that would be one of the things that we could possibly look back when we get our finances in line is a CSP again. And I think that the operation to do that, since it is alcohol, ought to come out of the alcohol tax.
Okay, thank you. Greg, two parts to this question.
Yeah, so we have a housing problem here in Dillingham. Housing is a huge issue on multiple levels. I think it affects almost everybody here in Dillingham in some respects. But specifically to people who do not have a house to go to, that is a problem here. It's a difficult problem to deal with because there's a lot of reasons why people become homeless or don't have a house to go to. And there's a lot of solutions to that. I started working with Tara Schroeder and other concerned citizens about a year ago to try to see what we can do about this. We started the homelessness task force. We found several roadblocks. I think some of the solutions we looked at is getting grants. There's a lot of different things that, you know, that whole thing deals with. It's kind of difficult not having a 503C. Talking to the community members, talking to the city council, you know, were some of the things. And, you know, I would invite Perry to join us at the homelessness task force to bring some more ideas. And what we really need is volunteers. People are willing to open up a place. People are willing to be there with people, make sure they're okay on through the night, and give them services.
Okay, thank you both. Cheers.
A lot of the issues that the city faces have relate to, well, the city's economic situation. But here's a question that we'll send in also. What can the city do to help keep more of the commercial fishing fleet based out of Dillingham and thus increasing its economic impact on our community? And this one would be prepared.
Okay.
Yes, I'm sorry. Can you read the question again? What, to keep the fleet here? Is that what you're asking?
Keep the fleet here or generate more, you know, revenue for the city, you know, by, you know, from the fishing fleet, because they think statistically something like only 20% of the money that's generated by the Bristol Bay fishery actually stays in the region. You know, and Dillingham maybe, you know, slightly more, slightly less, I don't know, but 80% of the money goes outside.
Yeah, that is a problem, and I like keeping local money. I like using local businesses, and I like keeping local money local. I am a believer in that, and I try to do that at every opportunity I get. I think we have lost and we've gone behind, for instance, Naknek, the Bristol Bay Borough. They are a borough. When our canneries get overwhelmed, the fish go over there. They get the money for it. We get nothing for it, even though the fish was coming out of our side of the river, if you will. I think we need to look at that seriously as a revenue source. I think that the part of that revenue would not only be to help out the city, but it would also be to help out the fishermen. I see one of the items here on the capital special projects, which I do believe that, yes, we may have some of these things paid for down now, but next year there's always going to be another cost. We've got a $5.2 million harbor dock system that we're going to have to pay for. $5 million is a lot of money. I think that kind of revenue that we get from that could help pay and give the fishermen better services, better boat repair services, better dock services. And I think the fishermen, at least a lot of them, I think would be willing to do that if they've got some kind of benefit out of it. And I think that would also entice fishermen and the boats to stay here.
Oh, perfect timing. And a related question on that, you know, we have some very exclusive lodges in the region, and typically the people who go to stay at these lodges pass through Dillingham and, you know, don't so much as give us a fairly well on our way out. You know, is there something we could do to, you know, to encourage a little more traffic, you know, from that demographic in the town itself? And I was thinking, you know, when we were speaking earlier about, one of the few things that we have that would bring people here would be the museum, which, you know, was a question about whether that's a, you know, an essential service for us under, you know, under our present circumstances. But if you got any ideas on that one, how to capture more money from that visitor business?
Most of the people that go to these lodges, not all of them, but a good majority of them, come in on the airplanes. They are picked up by the van and they are flown out. They don't even set foot into town. They're at the airport and then they're gone. And so to try to get any money out of them, I don't see how we can do that necessarily unless we entice them with some kind of a business or something at the airport itself, a business there, a, you know, souvenir, you know, open. We used to have two souvenir shops out here. We only have one now and it is closed. But we used to have several out. There's no businesses out at the airport other than the airline air taxi business. There's nothing for them to go into. We've got Bo Darden right over here. He's in attendance there. He makes some money off of the fuel sales, which the city does get the sales tax off of that. So we could maybe make that a more of a service. But it would be very difficult for somebody that steps foot off the plane, gets on something else, and then leaves our region. That would be very, very difficult.
Thanks, Greg. Greg, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's wise to split those up into two segments, commercial fishermen and sports fishermen. I think that one of the things I would really like to see is more local fishermen. You know, I support the BBEC program to get permits into the region. That's helpful. That's a big start. You know, the fish tax, obviously, that's one of those things that we're not getting capital. Will that keep fishermen here? I don't know. But what the revenue was from that was, I think it was $1.3 million the 1 year that we had it. And there's a stipulation that says it has to, part of it has to go to improving things for the fishermen. You know, quality of life issues. Right now there's harbor lease lots and there's food trucks going in there. And that's a quality of life issue. Any beautification. I and others put those fish up on the Lekkingek building wall and on the N&M building wall. And, you know, you see fishermen coming in and they're taking pictures of that. They take that wherever. They see stuff happening in town that's good, and they're more interested in this town. I think, you know, when you look at it, when I was a kid as a fisherman, I go to the library for free internet, but I also go to the museum. And I was impressed. I learned a lot. You know, having community center type stuff, things to bring people in would be great.
Thanks, Greg. Yeah, this is a pet peeve of mine, and I just, you know, here we have a multi-million dollar industry swimming past us, and we're broke. You know, that's all I want to say about that.
Hey, now this could be a rabbit answer or not, but we've talked about ways of collecting more money in terms of taxes, but what would be one tax that you would not support implementing? And I think, I guess we just put back and forth. So I guess Perry will take that first.
Okay, the question is, it not implementing or increasing?
Which tax you would support implementing? Councilman, there's a variety of ways to collect more revenue in terms of taxes. What's one that you would support?
That I would support?
Would not support.
Oh, would not support. The property taxes, the way that they are now, we have very few. But most of the property tax burdens is on, I believe it was around 17-18% of the individuals here. I think that would be unfair. I would not support in doing that. Sales tax is already quite high. We have sales tax on the internet. So I would be very, very reluctant to raise taxes right now until we get our spending under control. If once we get the spending under control, we still need to look at some areas. I would be willing to look at that. The alcohol and the tax and also the marijuana tax that Mr. Marksmiller brought up, I believe also that would be something that I would. But as far as not, I would be very, very hesitant on raising any taxes right now.
Okay, same question to Greg. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, in city council, we went and had the state department, I forget who it was, but Naldi came in and talked about taxes in the community, and she did a regional study on what taxes look like in our region and other places, and did comparative things and looked at what we could do, and it was pretty eye-opening. And I saw that, you know, residents of Dillingham have high property real property taxes. I've been on the Board of Equalization. I understand how that affects people and the issues around that. You know, I pay property tax, personal property tax, I own a business, and real property tax here. And we're at 13. I think that's reasonable. Though I voted against a recent tax increase on that. So that's something I would not, that would be my last line of defense for our city.
Okay. Thank you both.
Here's a,
we're running close to the out of time, so this may be next question, maybe the last one before we wrap up.
Okay, looks like that's, we might have time for 90 seconds each on what's your vision for Dillingham, and if elected, how would you make that a reality?
I would look in here. Day one is to get with the assessment and get the city services, get those under control. And then I would look at getting the community involved and says, okay, here, guys, there's a lot of good ideas out there that people have. I don't have all of the answers in my head. There's a lot of good ideas, but we have a lot of talented, gifted people that have very good ideas that I think we need to listen to. I think the city council ought to listen to some of these ideas and act on some of them. As far as bringing new revenue, new businesses to town, the revenue that I would like to see raised is from new business and a new investment into Dillingham, not raising taxes on what we already have, but trying to create something that will entice people to come in and open up a business here, to move their families here, to raise their kids here. I was raised here. I loved it. But it's very, very expensive with our high cost of living to have that. So we've got to get our cost of living and our expenses down. And then I think Dillingham is a beautiful place. I love it here. And I think people would want to live here. They would be more readily willing to live here if we could get those costs down and get the opportunities for investment there so that they don't feel like they're giving all the money away, that they do invest. And I think they would stay.
Thank you, Perry. Greg, what's your vision for Dillingham, and if elected, how would you make it a reality?
Well, Dillingham is a special place. It's Dillingham is known throughout the world. People watch us. People see what's going on. And the people that live here know how special it is. I feel very grateful to be able to be part of this community. And this community has a lot of great assets. I believe that we need to work on developing those assets. That's city staff. That's our community coming together. In my work, I've done a lot of different things like, you know, the new Fish in the Sea potlucks to bring people in and to give people kind of like a, hey, welcome to this community. We'd like to see you around for a while. You know, this community can do so much. I think we're in a kind of a rough patch right now. I think when we look at getting a city manager here that can bring our staff together and capitalize on what Chris is already doing, I think that'll be helpful. I like to see business incubators. I like to see us utilize the Bingham property in a positive way. I also feel like we need to work together with the people in our community, such as Chogyam tribe and the tribes around us, to help make a better place. I think that's possible.
Thank you, Greg. Perry, 2 minutes, closing statement.
Yeah. Kind of add on to for the closing here about with my opening statement is that I am unapologetically a Christian, a man. I am, and as such, I am fair. I will listen to the constituents, whether they voted for me or not. They still have an equal right and equal time, in my opinion, with me. I am honest and I have a good moral character. I'm a fighter and I'm not afraid to stand up against anything that threatens our community and family, and I will stand alone if I must. I encourage all who desire a change in Dillingham to support me in this election. I have too much love for this community and its people to stand by any longer and not get more involved. Many of you who've lived in this town for any length of time know me, and you know what kind of stock that I come from with my parents when we first moved here. So I think you know me pretty well. And so I'm asking for your support this coming October 5th election. Thank you.
Thank you, Perry. Greg.
Yeah, thank you. So I think the last question that will be asked here is, who will you vote for? What kind of government do you want? I think people know me. They know what's in my heart. They know what I'm dedicated to doing. And they know that I've put my time in the city to understand things. And I'm looking forward to moving forward. People know what they can expect from me, and they know that I care. I look forward to everybody voting with me, and I also would ask for your vote. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. I think we're right on time with maybe 30 seconds left, Kelsa. Okay, thank you all for being here, and thank you for the folks listening on the radio. And Election Day is coming up, so be sure to be registered and vote, please. Thank you.
Thank you both.
All right, and that does it for the City of Dillingham City Council debate tonight. We will have the school board debate tomorrow. John Klaus and Bernina Venwa will be at that forum, and you can tune in right here on 670 AM at 6 PM tomorrow. Have a great evening, everyone.